not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Lord, you have given us the words of everlasting life. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, you are listening to the most listened to show. It's now time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air.
Oh, that
was
great.
You beat that dead horse every week. The most listened to show. The most listened to
We are. We got 35 listeners.
Show. Oh, God. How
Trevor,
many?
Trevor, get the duct tape. Trevor, get the duct tape. And that was Dr. John Palmer. I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo. And we're here to tell you, we love Jesus. And we got some show for you today.
We certainly do. Who's this?
This
guy
is our good old friend Al Barbarino. And by the way, just keep quiet a minute. This weekend, Al Barbarino will be singing and speaking at all the masses and presenting the parish mission at Our Lady of Snow in Blue Point on March the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th. Huh. And next weekend, he'll be singing and speaking at all the masses, presenting at the parish mission at St. Cyril Methodius in Deer Park. That would be on March 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th. So let's all get out there and support our great friend who has sang our theme song for 217 times. Thank you, Al. We love you dearly. You're
Al
the best
Al,
ever.
Al
Barbarino, the great singer.
Listen, people, we have to have you show up, and you have to tell him you heard it here, because otherwise he's going to take the song away from us, and he won't let us play it ever again.
And he made us play for 217 times. Al, we love you dearly. You're the best ever, Al. God bless you. And now, you have something you have to say to John?
No. Welcome, Paul. Paul Miller is with us, everybody. And he's our most frequent guest.
The most frequent guest. And besides, I know you don't know this, Palmer, do you? We have several listeners that demand a disc of every show that Paul Miller is on.
Wow.
And every time that Paul Miller's on our show, on about 7-8 times, he's the most listened to guy on our station. And every time he's on, I have to mail them copies of the disc.
And next time we'll say, welcome to the Paul Miller Show. Hi, Paul.
Paul, welcome. We love you, baby. Thank you for being on.
Well, it's my great pleasure to be with you today.
What an honor to have you.
You're getting lazy, huh?
Flattery will get you everywhere. You know?
Hey, Paul.
We're trying.
You're getting lazy. You're staying in Jersey, huh?
Well, you know, it's we're bound under a snowbank here.
Yeah.
So I had to use call-in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a feature that we have, and you know what? And it works. And
Tony, you may not know this, but Paul is going to do a day of prayer, healing prayer, at St. Mary's in Manhasset.
Yes.
On March 21st from 10 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we were sold out until the pastor said, I'll give you more space. So, Paul, we want to get 200 people, not 100
now,
people.
John, you may not know this, but I'll be there also.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, wait a minute. Do I have to pay?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'll be there anyway.
What are you complaining about? I have to pay.
That's Palmer for you, baby.
Paul, what have you been up to? What's going on with you and your ministry? And people may not know that you really have a wonderful ministry, a healing ministry, and not only that, a food kitchen, and you give away coats, and you train people to tune pianos, and you're just a master of all trades. But Tell people more.
But besides that, he's doing Jesus' work.
Oh, of course.
He's feeding people. He's clothing people. I'm amazed, totally amazed.
Paul,
so tell
you
us.
Want to fill
us in? We've been very busy in the social service side of our charities. We just finished our two big events of the year in November and December. We had our annual coat giveaway where we gave away 2,000 coats.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I'm very pleased to say that one of the benefits of being on your radio show has been the response of people from Long Island to contributing these wonderful coats.
Wow.
Almost all of the coats, I would say probably 1,500 of the 2,000 coats came from Long Island and Nassau County.
Wow.
And believe me, they're beautiful coats. I mean, absolutely
that's wonderful.
So that's been a big, wonderful
sign
of support.
When you do that, Paul, you treat people with respect when they come for their coat, and you have a personal shopper with them.
I was just going to say, I hear it's like shopping at Macy's.
It is. We have racks, and we have sizes, and we have a personal shopper for every single person.
That's wonderful.
That comes in, whether it be an adult or a child.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
And what's interesting about it is that because we get such a broad variety of coats, people are really able to choose, you know, a coat that matches their style and their own personal taste. So it's a wonderful thing. It's just a beautiful thing. We always have about 50 volunteers that work that day.
Oh, my Lord.
In addition to all the people who work in the background, like your good friends in Long Island who do all the work in collecting these things. It's an enormous task, but it's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
And I think they also have them dry cleaned before they give them to you. Is that right?
Yeah. They're not just like the ones that you sometimes see
pulled
people
out of a closet,
you know, going into a dumpster. Yeah. They're really first-class quality coats.
I'm so glad the coat drive is over, because every time I go near Techie Joe Needles or Kathy Mayhew, they try to take the coat from my back, and that's not nice, you know?
That's funny. The first year we did it, my wife made the mistake of putting her coat down, and somebody took it. Ever since then, she doesn't ever wear a coat to the coat drive.
But you also feed the poor.
Yes. We just finished up our 10th year, and we served about approximately 125,000 meals.
Oh, my Lord.
It's a big endeavor. We also had our annual toy giveaway, which is just a beautiful and joyful event where we have usually somewhere around 800 or so children that come, and they get their picture with Santas, and each one has, an individual elf who comes with them and takes them around and allows them to select a toy that they most want. And it's a beautiful event. And again, thanks to the charity of many, many people, we're able to do that event each year. So,
wow.
You know, Paul, one Christmas, I was a Santa Claus, a volunteer Santa Claus in my neighborhood, and I was going around. I had a list of the houses to go to, and they started up the stairs to one house, and I said, oh, my gosh, it's the wrong house. And there were two kids in the window, and they looked tearful. I said, I got to go in. I had to go in.
They thought you were leaving them.
But you're like Santa to the people in Newark. It's really beautiful what you do.
More than that, you're like Jesus.
Sadly, I look a little bit like Santa, so I'm often confused when I go out on the line.
You are truly doing Jesus' work, yeah? feeding my people, clothing my people, and et cetera, et cetera. So,
One of the things that I'm most enthusiastic about is about 3 years ago, we started essentially a construction company. And so we're able to hire people who are basically coming to the soup kitchen to eat, some of whom live on the streets as well as in shelters.
Wow.
And we train them in construction, and we put them to work.
Wow.
In doing construction projects. And one of the newest projects that we're working on is actually a company who's doing a building here in Jersey City, but they're from Long Island as well. They're Racanelli Construction Company is the name of it.
Okay.
And so we've had this wonderful collaboration, and it's creating jobs and bringing people back
into
the mainstream of society, paying taxes, paying their child support, and all those things. So that's been a wonderful.
That is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's been wonderful. We're very proud and very happy about that.
You know, a lot of our prayer requests, by the way, are people that are out of work, that are looking for work and stuff like that. So I think that's a beautiful thing that you're doing also.
Yep.
It really is.
And don't you do something about pianos?
Yeah, well, the piano ministry, that's in its infancy still. primarily because we're so busy doing all these other things. But what we've been doing is collecting pianos that people no longer want, and we work on them and fix them up, and we tune them, and then, you know, we use that to help with the proceeds of our charity.
Wow. Paul, if someone wants to get in touch with you to talk to you about some of these things or helping out in one of these things, is it possible for them to call you or email you?
Well, email is a better choice, and they can actually go to the Franciscan Charities website.
Oh, Franciscan.
Franciscan, as in St. Francis.
Yeah, okay.
FranciscanCharitiesInc.org.
CharitiesInc.org.
Right, .org. Okay. And there's a place where they can email if they, you know, there's a button for email.
Okay.
So they can email me, and I will get that email, and then we'll respond to them depending on their what they, you know, what they would like to talk about
that's
or whatever.
Great. Oh, that's
people
wonderful.
Should be aware you are a Third Order Franciscan, are you not?
Yes, I am. Yeah. I am a professed member, and I do lead a life as close as I can to the spirit of St. Francis of Assisi, and we have many, many members of the local fraternities, they call them, of secular Franciscans that are involved in my ministry in various ways.
So, right. So we can call you Brother Paul, can't we?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's what, you know, that was the original title that was St. Francis sought approval from the Pope, and it was called the Brothers and Sisters of Penance.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, the Brothers and Sisters of Penance. And so we've referred to each other as brother and sister in the same way that Francis did with his own brothers of the First Order and Clare did of the Second Order. So.
Yeah, Brother Paul, we're honored.
Now, how did you get involved with Divine Mercy? Where did all that come from?
Hey, that was my question, Palmer.
Oh, sorry.
You know, but Paul, this guy's outrageous. He stole it from me. He knew I was going to ask that question.
Hey, Paul, I got my hearing aids. You can't shut me up anymore.
What an excellent question. Anyway, well, actually, it began many years ago, actually in 1997. I was on a trip, a healing trip with Maria Esperanza,
right.
Servant of God Maria Esperanza. Mm-hmm. And we were traveling from Albuquerque to Santa Fe, and somebody in the van we were in said, well, let's pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And I said, what's that? And that was my first introduction to it. Mm-hmm. And it intrigued me. It's obviously a simple devotion in terms of the chaplet aspect of it. And that sort of kindled my interest. And from there, it really, really grew in many, many ways. In some straightforward just prayer and some more interesting mystical events. So so that's really how it started. And it's become the main theme of my ministry, my non-social service ministry that I carry out throughout the United States and actually throughout the world.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the Divine Mercy, as I recall, was given to Saint Faustina by Jesus?
That's right, in the early 1930s.
In the early 1930s, yeah. Yes.
Saint Faustina, who was a nun living in Poland, she was Polish, and our Lord started a series of messages and visions and locutions to Faustina to reveal his divine mercy to her. And she became what he called his apostle of divine mercy.
Right.
In other words, her responsibility was given by our Lord to spread the message of divine mercy throughout the world.
Yes, and she put it in her book, The Diary of Divine Mercy.
That's right.
And
she was asked to write a diary, and it's a. I don't know if many of your readers have read it. It's quite an undertaking.
Oh, it's quite large.
You know what I like about what I like about the diary? The words that came from Jesus are in darker print, and I once went through a good part of it. And pulled out those words. And I have a newsletter with those words all written out. And if anyone wants them, Tony, they can email us.
Yes, you can call us.
Email, because I'm going to email us. I can't mail
okay.
them.
You can email us, and actually you can email ourselves personally. My personal one is tcruffo@aol.com. And John Palmer, which one are you using today?
I'll use JOPALME1.
Okay.
@msn.com.
Okay.
And I'll email them right back to you because they're so powerful, especially when they're all grouped together.
Yeah. And our station radio show email is listen@aol.com.
And Paul, you're doing something special on Divine Mercy Sunday, aren't you?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up.
It was pre-planned.
We got it written in big letters.
It's
there,
in my
Paul.
Head. I know.
What do they call that? A shameless plug?
Yes.
Anyway, we have established a Center of Divine Mercy in New Jersey, and actually in Newark, New Jersey, in a church called St. Rocco's. That's been established 10 years ago with the permission of the Archbishop here in New Jersey. And we worked in collaboration with the National Shrine in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. and we obtained a first-class relic of St. Faustina and have been conducting services for basically 10 years. But each year, as was told to Faustina by our Lord, that the Sunday following Easter would be dedicated to the Divine Mercy of Jesus. And he promised some a beautiful gift, spiritual gift, if someone would go on that day, receive communion, receive the sacrament of penance, and pray the chaplet, essentially, and that they would be forgiven all of the penalties, so to speak, of their sins when they died, if they died on that day. So, in other words, there was an indulgence granted for
yes.
that day.
Plenary indulgence.
Does that mean I have something to look forward to on that day?
Yeah, just make sure if you're going to die, make it that day, John. Yeah.
Okay.
Just so you know you're clear.
Thank you.
But anyway, it's a very beautiful day, and it's interesting because the Pope John Paul II, now Saint Pope John Paul II, right, was instrumental in establishing the validity of Faustina's messages, as well as her sainthood, which he was a primary force behind that.
Yes.
And of course, as those people out there who sort of follow the church know, St. Faustina was the first canonized saint of the new millennium. And that has great significance because this is, in fact, the millennium of mercy. Mm-hmm. Of Divine Mercy. And so it's no mistake that John Paul was the first non-Italian pope in 500 years and the first Polish pope ever.
Yes.
So it's quite an interesting thing.
Yes,
but on that Sunday, on that Divine Mercy Sunday...
He also established Divine Mercy Sunday, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
What's that?
He also set up Divine Mercy.
Oh, yes, he established it. That's right. And this year on Divine Mercy Sunday, as we always do, we have a service at our Center of Divine Mercy at St. Rocco's in Newark. And what's interesting, though, is this year our Lord has promised us extraordinary graces on that day, very extraordinary graces. Good. And we've been telling people through the insistence of our Lord that if you're ever going to come to a Divine Mercy celebration, they need to come to Newark this Divine Mercy Sunday, where there would be extraordinary graces granted by our Lord.
Wow.
And so we've been telling everyone who'll listen that
they
need to come
there?
Because this is what our Lord has promised. Pope John Paul said when he gave his address at the sort of consecration of the shrine in Poland, he said, you know, our Lord is present in every tabernacle in the world, in every tabernacle within the Catholic churches of the world. But he said in some places, our Lord is especially present in an extraordinary way. Mm. And he was speaking in terms of that particular place. Mm. But we believe that the same thing is true here at the Center of Divine Mercy in New Jersey. Our Lord is extraordinarily present. And we've seen many, many miracles of all different types there. And we continue to see those miracles. And so, you know, I would heartily encourage all of your listeners that can to take advantage of this opportunity. We are talking about running a bus from Long Island, so maybe some of your visitors might wish to do that. If they go on to the centerofdivinemercy.com is the name of the website, they can inquire as to the availability of a bus.
Yep.
The service starts at 11 with Mass, a bilingual Mass in English and Spanish from 11 to about 1 it runs. From 1 to 3 is a healing service that I conduct. And then at 3 o'clock is the Chapel of Divine Mercy, mm-hmm. and a benediction, and that's pretty much the day. But it's a beautiful day.
Now, and that's Paul, at St. Rocco's Church?
At St. Rocco's Saint Church, Rocco's. Which is at 212 Hunterton Street, Newark.
Mm-hmm. Now, Paul, if you do arrange to have a bus coming out of Long Island, you'll let us know, and we'll publicize it on our radio show?
Yes, we will. We will definitely let you know so that people can hook up.
Yes, but I think there would be some listeners that would be interested in going. I'm positive, as a matter of fact.
No, it's a wonderful, and plus, you know, it's better in terms of traveling to Newark. It's a much better way to go, like going that way.
Yes.
And there may be a listener who might want, or two that might want to volunteer to organize the bus.
That would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. We're most open to any help we can get. I mean,
so
this is a big effort.
Us, Tony, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Year.
Email us. You have our email addresses, or you could send it to the radio show, Listen Up, at AOL.com.
And right. I know it's going to be special.
If you want,
because
they can also reach me by going to the Healing Ministry website, which is healingministryofdivinemercy.com.
What ministry?
Healingministryofdivinemercy.com.
Okay.
They can reach out to me that way.
And you're not the head of the center. You have a director now down there, right?
No, we have a director. Her name is Melissa Lucchini, and her family has been converted by Divine Mercy. She's a wonderful speaker and has many, many stories to tell about how Divine Mercy has happened in her life and the things she's seen, the witnesses, and the miracles she's seen. And she's a wonderful speaker. And coincidentally, she's now the president of my charity, Franciscan Charities.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So she's serving a dual role this year.
How can somebody contribute to Franciscan Charities? I'm going to get all these commercials in.
you're the best, John. No wonder
he's the best. You know what? I'm starting to believe it. That's all he ever tells me.
Anyway, they can go on to our website, which is FranciscanCharitiesInc.org, INC, FranciscanCharitiesInc.org.
Okay.
And there's a button that they can push to make a donation.
Wonderful.
And that's tax deductible? That's a 501c3?
Yes, it is. So it's all 100% tax deductible.
Great. Okay.
And you have a lovely young lady who came out to the Montfort Center and sang her heart out to the people there. I have a video of that. I should share that with you. But she was just so delightful. She's the mother of, I don't know how many kids, 7 kids or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. She has 7 children, and she looks like a teenager.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Very, people tell me I look like a teenager, too. Are they telling me the truth?
I've been telling you that, so don't believe me.
What's her name?
Her name is Angela Mintel, and she had a very wonderful conversion when she was in college. Mm. As a result of that conversion, she decided to become a Christian singer because she was a singer before her conversion. And she's traveled all over the United States. She's been on EWTN a bunch of times when the original Life on the Rock program came on. And she's sung for the Pope. She's witnessed on television. She's done all these wonderful things. And now she has 7 children. And she is the director of the music ministry within my ministry.
Wow. Any chance she might come on the 21st of March?
Well, I've invited her to come, and I believe that she's planning on coming. So she just has, you know, how certain people have a certain charisma of sanctity, and that's her. She has this wonderful, joyful, youthful appearance and a sincere ability to communicate the love of God through her song.
Oh, wow.
You know, we do a every other month a night called Come Adore, and we do an hour of adoration, and then we go over to an auditorium for a little concert. I wonder, maybe we can work out something that she might come to one of those.
Well, I'm sure she'd be open to talking to you about it, that's for sure.
So what else is on your mind today, now that we picked your head and your center?
Oh, he's got more. This guy doesn't stop. Wait, come on, Paul, tell us. Let everything out, Paul. All the stuff that you do.
Well, you know, we are seriously interested in telling the message of divine mercy. Mm-hmm. And I think far too often people, they think about divine mercy only in terms of either the chaplet at 3 o'clock or Divine Mercy Sunday. But I spoke at a high school, as a Catholic high school in upstate New York, and I spent the whole day there and spoke to 7 different periods of kids, the whole school basically. And each class I said to them, who knows what the Chaplet of Divine Mercy is? And probably less than 5% knew what it was. And then I said, well, of those of you who know, how many of you pray the chaplet? And only one kid in the whole school raised his hand. And I'm laughing because I don't know whether to laugh or to cry. But I think that that my most important mission at this point in my life is to make people understand just what Jesus offers us in terms of the divine mercy.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
I know you might have covered, and I'm not sure, but how did you really become involved so heavily in divine mercy? People become involved, you know, surfacely and stuff like that, but you are really, honestly, and truly, in-depthly involved in divine mercy. How did you get that message? How did you get that ha-ha message of divine mercy?
Well, you know, it began, as I was saying, when I early on in 1997, after having traveled with Maria Esperanza to New Mexico, I came back, and people started asking me to pray for them. And the first person who asked me, she had a relative who had a brain tumor, and she asked if I could pray for them. And I really didn't know or hadn't even contemplated the fact that I would have the gift of healing at all. And even after I met Maria Esperanza and I went through this sort of radical change in my life, I never expected anything as it relates to healing to happen. Well, long story short, the first night I prayed for this woman, I woke up during the middle of the night with, in a rather dramatic fashion, and the room lit up as I was praying the chaplet, and what I saw was these 2 rays of light that came down on my hands.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And as I prayed and finished the chaplet, then, of course, the light disappeared. I didn't see Jesus himself. I just saw the 2 rays. And within the next couple of days, the brain tumor had disappeared.
Wow. That's a
so that was my moment. That was the first person I ever prayed for. And it was very dramatic. And then I kept praying the chaplet as years went on, and I didn't really attribute much of that to the chaplet until 2009. When I was hospitalized with infection of my kidneys. And I was very sick, very, very sick. And one day I was laying in this room, and my friends came to see me, two of them, to visit with me. And I was in terrible pain, and I really couldn't talk. But anyway, they came in, and one of them, it turns out, happens to be that young woman you're talking about, Angela, mm-hmm. the singer, and her father, who was also there, who's also a good friend of mine. But they didn't even know they were coming. They both came separate from each other, and they both wound up coming at the same time. It was quite amazing. Anyway, I was laying in the bed, and the bed was flat out because I couldn't even recline even an inch. And I was looking at the ceiling. They came in to visit, and I wasn't really able to talk, so I motioned for my wife to come over, and I whispered that to ask them to pray the chaplet. And so what happened was they began praying the chaplet out loud, and I had my rosary beads, and I was in the bed, and I was following along, and all of a sudden, right in front of me was Divine Mercy Jesus, mm-hmm. except for the fact that I wasn't sitting up, I was laying down, and he was straight over the top of me as if he were standing in front of me, even though it would have been horizontal, if you follow what I'm saying.
Oh, wow, yes.
And I was quite shocked. And then what happened was he stepped forward and embraced me. And I felt the power of his embrace, I mean, physically. I mean, I was wide awake. And at that moment, I had this deep spiritual recognition that this was what God wanted for me, for not only for this life, but for life after this in heaven, that this was what God wanted me to do and wanted me to devote my life to.
Wow.
And I started to cry.
Oh, you're making me cry.
And I'm German, so we're not big
criers. I'm Italian.
No,
the other
no
guy, he never cries.
No difference to you Italians, Tony. But anyway, so I started to cry because I realized somehow, and it wasn't intellectually, certainly, I realized that what it cost Jesus personally, obviously, to give us his mercy. You know, the suffering he continues to endure for us in order to be merciful towards us. And it was just overwhelming to me.
Oh, my Lord.
And so my wife saw me crying, and I'm sure she was quite upset about it because she didn't see me cry even during the worst of what was happening to me physically.
Wow.
And so she came over to the bed, and I asked her to tell him to leave. So they left, and I told her the story after they left, and you know she was very moved and upset
wow.
by it. And then a week later, the young woman Angela, the one we were talked about, came back to see me again, and we were talking, and she was visiting, and at this point in time I was feeling much better, and I could communicate and all that, and she said to me, "I have something to tell you, but I feel funny about telling you this." I said, "Sure, go ahead, tell me whatever it is." She said, "You know, when we were praying the chaplet, I saw the Divine Mercy Jesus in front of you."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, to be honest with you, I wasn't overly shocked because we were praying the chaplet, and, you know, I wasn't sure if she really saw it or whether she, you know, imagined she saw it. I really didn't judge, but I really didn't know. But then she said something that really shocked me, which was, she said, "But he wasn't standing at the foot of your bed. He was directly over you."
Mm.
So she knew.
It's a validation, yeah.
That
yeah.
Jesus was there, and what a confirmation.
Yeah,
you know, I was sure of it, to be honest with you. I was certain that he was there. And so I didn't doubt it at all, but just hearing this just made it doubly impressive to me. You know, from that experience, many things happened after that.
I'm sure.
Some amazing, amazing things happened, and which were much more specific in terms of what Jesus wants from me.
Paula, I want to pair you up with Father Charles Mangano and Lori Mangano, because they both have a devotion to Divine Mercy. And
right.
Father Charles put the healing mercy, it's not the chaplet. Mm-hmm. He put it to music. And I wonder, if I play that softly in the background, would you pray for healing of our listeners?
Of course.
Okay, and I'm very glad I asked you that question. I hid that question from Palmer, by the way. So your answer was magnificent, Paul.
Great. I'm going to put this on a bit loud at the beginning. Maybe it won't be loud at the beginning. Oh, I see what happened.
Well, you have to turn it on.
Yeah, you have to turn the machine. Let me just start it again. I'm going to make it softer. And Lord, we just put ourselves in your presence. And Paul, we ask you to pray for all of our listeners who have submitted so many petitions.
Yes.
Lord, you said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And so I bring the petitions of all those who are part of this wonderful radio ministry to your most sacred heart. And I petition you most especially through the blood and water which gush forth from your soul upon all those who seek your healing and restoration. And I ask you to bless us, O Lord, and heal us in body, mind, and soul according to your will. I ask you to be moved by these petitions as you're moved by the tears of Martha and Mary for their beloved brother Lazarus. As you're moved by your mother's request at the marriage ceremony at Cana. As you're moved by the faith of the Samaritan woman who believed she'd be healed by touching the tassel of your cloak. I thank you, Lord, for the many times when you've intervened in the past, especially on behalf of those who are within the hearing of this radio station. And I ask you to fill us with your peace and light through Jesus Christ. Amen.
And Lord, amen. I have a client of mine who is suicidal at this moment in time. And we ask you, show mercy on this person, Lord. Take away the pain that's driven him to this particular point in his life. Touch him, Lord. Lift that pain from him. We thank you, Lord. We thank you.
Thank you. And Jesus, we give you praise and glory and thank you. And amongst the petitions are so many people that are having financial problems and mental problems and sicknesses and cancer, including our own families. And so we ask that you take pity on our families and that you cure our families and all the families out there. And we just raise these petitions up to you and give you praise and glory and thanks, Jesus.
And there are so many families, Tony, in pain right now. And it just seems like there's an outbreak of pain, especially those who are being extra faithful to God. It's almost like evil is attacking them.
Yes.
To try at this last moment to pull them away from him, away from God. So we ask, Lord, send St. Michael the Archangel. Send it to him so that we can protect him with your grace. And we say the prayer, St. Michael the Archangel, defend our listeners in battle. Be our safeguard against the wiles and the wickedness of the devil. Restrain him, O God, we humbly pray, and to thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin and the destruction of souls. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm hearing inside of me, listeners, if you open your heart to me right now, I send St. Michael the Archangel to you so that you'll be defended against evil. I sent the Archangel Raphael to you so that I may heal the wounds inflicted in your souls by the mischief of evil. And I send Archangel Gabriel to you with the good news that you are winners. You are winners. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to let the song play a little. I'm going to let the song play just a little bit longer because it's such a pretty melody that Father has written. And listeners, if you call radio station WHLI here on Long Island, they will play more of Father Charles's music on their radio station. Do you realize what a breakthrough that would be? They would just intersperse his music with the other music that they play on that station. And that's a very powerful station.
It is.
Okay. Let's just allow this to play out just a little bit longer. And then we have the saint of the day.
Yes, we have the saints. We need to
okay, we get time.
Okay.
Saint Joseph is such a powerful intercessor.
Absolutely.
And we play their music often on the program because I'm a fan of theirs.
I know you are.
And you can go to Mater, M-A-T-E-R, D-E website, and you can get any of their albums there. I just wanted to throw in another.
Okay, Father Charles, that was your free commercial. Okay.
You have a saint today.
Yes,
the
I do. And all right, do you want to read the, no? Okay. This was a very trying endeavor to decide on what saint to use. I was really seriously thinking of St. Faustina, but I decided to save St. Faustina for Divine Mercy Sunday, except to tell you that St. Faustina knew when she was 7 years old that she would become part of religious life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how early in life God touches people.
I know at 7 years of age I wasn't going to be, I wouldn't be eligible. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was led to St. Geronimus. Now, he gets confused sometimes with St. Jerome, but the reason why I was led to St. Geronimus is because of a friend of his, a lion friend. But the moral of his life is that the good that you do is never forgotten. And so, bingo, as soon as I started realizing that, I thought of Paul. And I started thinking of all the things that he does. The coats and the soup kitchen and the construction.
But he doesn't walk on water.
Not yet. But I started thinking of that, and I says, you know what? I think I'm going to talk about St. Geronimus and save St. Faustina for Divine Mercy weekend. So let's talk about St. Geronimus and why he reminds me so much of the good that our good friend Paul does. St. Geronimus came from Asia Minor, which today is Turkey. And he also came from a rich family. And in the land where Jesus once lived, there flowed the River Jordan. Not far from that river is a city named Jericho. And not far from Jericho is a desert. Many, many years ago, on the edge of the desert, lived a number of holy men. Unlike monks who lived together, each of these men lived in his own hut, and each spent his time only praying and thinking about God. That was it. They tried to keep themselves away from all the evil things of the world, which is a task within itself. And some people named them hermits. One of them was named Geronimus. There came a day when Geronimus decided he would go for a walk by himself in the desert in order to consecrate himself properly. He walked on and on, hardly looking where he was going. And from behind some rocks, he heard a whimpering noise. "I suppose I better see what's the matter," he said to himself. When he saw what was making the whimpering noise, he says, oh dear me, what am I going to do now? You're in pain." He was about to go forward and help, but then he stopped as he realized the danger. It was a lion. "Oh my dear," he said again, I've never seen a lion before, but I know what you are. I suppose I ought to be afraid." The lion whimpered. It almost makes me cry again, and held up a paw. And Geronimus saw that there was a large and very sharp thorn sticking in the pad of his lion's foot. Instead of running away, Geronimus tiptoed to the lion and very gently pulled out the thorn. Then the lion stood up. Geronimus started to back away. "Stay," he said, wondering if the lion would understand. But the lion still came toward him. Geronimus considered whether to run away or stand still. He decided to turn around and walk slowly away. When he's gone a few steps, he glanced over his shoulder, and the lion was following him. This lion was so grateful for his help that it refused to leave him and follow him back where he lived. At first, the others were seriously frightened, but they soon realized that the lion would never hurt a friend of Geronimus. Geronimus had helped him in such a great way. So the lion came to live with them. Because Geronimus had found it near the River Jordan, they named it Jordan, and Geronimus taught it to fetch and carry things for the hermits. Although Jordan was very friendly to them, his special friend was always Geronimus. Geronimus had did something special for him, and it was never forgotten, just like all the stuff that Paul does that I know has never been forgotten by Jesus and our Heavenly Father. This might seem like a happy ending, but in fact, the story has rather a sad ending. Not all that long after this, Geronimus died of old age. He was an old man by that time, and at the end of his life, he died quietly and without any pain. Jordan remained his friend throughout. He was lost without a special friend, and when the other hermits dug a grave and buried Geronimus's body. I'm starting to cry now. Jordan lay down beside the grave and died next to him as well. So that's the story of Geronimus, but that's the story of the good that you do never dies. And it lives on forever and ever.
And that's what you're doing, Paul. And you're taking the thorns.
And this is in honor of you, Paul, by the way. And that's the reason why I chose it.
And you know, the funny thing is you were talking about...
And I hope you're not crying, by the way.
No, but as you're talking about the saint, the song playing in the background by Denny Bouchard.
Yes.
And I placed my life in your
yes.
hands.
Now, was that... That wasn't planned. Yes. But, I mean, it just hit me that the good that you do, you know, you may forget it, but it's never forgotten by the person, that the receiver, and by Jesus, and by Heavenly Father.
Now, I know Paul is very humble. Are you blushing yet?
I don't even like to talk in these... I try to find a place to hide. And this goes on.
Well,
I do want to say something, though, before we run out of time.
Go ahead, buddy.
It's very important for me to say this, and that is, you know, that, you know, certainly myself and my staff and all the people in my ministry greatly appreciate the work that you two do on this radio show.
Thank you.
You know, Jesus has commissioned me to spread the message of divine mercy throughout the world, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to do that within your part of the world. And I want to go a step further to say that, as I have indicated to you privately, not on the air, that the New Jersey Center of Divine Mercy wants to become a sponsor of your show.
Oh, my God.
And we intend to...
Thank you.
Hopefully accomplish that within the next couple of weeks or so, so that we can utilize your listening audience to hear all the different things we're doing with Divine Mercy and how wonderful that is. I also want to say one other thing, which is, you know, one of the most beautiful promises of Divine Mercy, Jesus, is that if we pray the chaplet in the presence of a dying person, no matter how great a sinner that person is, that when that person dies, our Lord will intercede between that person and his Heavenly Father, not as a just judge, but as a loving Savior.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
So for all those listeners who are struggling mightily with either themselves or relatives or friends who they feel endangered by their state in life, this is the perfect time to pray the chaplet of divine mercy for that person.
Wow.
That's Paul, my commercial message.
That's beautiful, Paul. That's beautiful.
And we want to thank you for sponsoring us.
Oh, that's magnificent.
Just is an unbelievable thing because, you know, I'm taking the bottles back to the store as things are going.
But he's making he's making me carry those bottles.
Because I have arthritis and I can't walk too well. But you know, listeners, we do have permission to
501c3.
A nonprofit corporation.
Right. And it's in effect and it's called pending, but any contributions that are made or any sponsorships are made are totally tax deductible at this moment.
And we're going to flesh this out a bit more as we go on.
Yes, go along. But
because
Paul,
in conjunction with the Divine Mercy Center in Newark.
Oh, this is magnificent.
With all the things that we wish to do, if you take a membership, as we will
we'll be working on that shortly.
Later, then there will be things that we'll be able to share with you.
Yeah, like free disc.
Whatever.
Of every show.
You know, and we'll work on that. Paul, you're a very special man. I'm sorry if you have to go hide, but that's tough. I'd like to see people
Paul, we
go
love
hide.
You, Paul. I want you to know we really, honestly, and truly love you. You are so phenomenal.
And we look
and you're
forward.
You're a wonderful friend.
Oh, thank you.
You know, our arms are going to break from patting each other on the back.
I know.
But, you know, Paul, again, I want people to know that thanks to Monsignor McCann, he's opened up more space for us at St. Mary's in Manhasset on the 21st of March. And you're more than welcome to come. Be nice if you called us in advance. You can call my workshop phone, 516-627-1109, and I'll acknowledge it and put you on the list. Or if worse comes to worse and you have a last-minute decision, you can show up at the door.
Yep. And
we're going to have three priests.
And I'll be there, by the way, also.
Good. And we're going to have three priests there who will hear confession, and we'll have real music. So it's going to be quite a special day. And food by Manhattan Delicatessen. I mean, what more could you ask
for? Oh, it's wonderful.
Manhasset Delicatessen. It's going to be very special.
And by the way, Paul, Palmer won't give me a free admission, but I'll pay.
And, you know, the whole show... has been about God's love and God's mercy and God's grace.
Yes.
And Michael Smith has done a beautiful song called Grace, and I would like to pray it, play it now and pray it as well, because it's so pretty.
Thank you, listeners.
In case you found out last week.
Yes. Thank you, listeners. Thank you for listening. We love you. You're
Paul,
in our prayers.
Thank you so much, Paul.
You're most welcome.
Paul, we love you daily. We really do, honestly.
Listen to these words. It's just what the show's been all about. Healing.
I was lost when you found me here. You pulled me close and held me near. And I'm a fool, but still you love.
Good.
I'll be a fool for the King of Love. You gave me wings so I could fly. And gave me a song to color the sky. And all I have is all from you. And all I want is all of you.
It's grace.
Forgive me, Lord, when I'm weak and lost. For you traded heaven for a wooden cross. And all these years you carried me. You've been my eyes when I could not see. And beauty grows in the driving rain. You're all the gladness in the times of pain. Your grace, your grace,
your grace. I'm nothing without you. Your grace, your grace,
shines on me.
Such a pretty soul.
Oh, it's your grace.
It's true.
Necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
See you next week, listeners.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.